Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, my name's Nigel Jones and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan, and welcome to today's podcast where we're going to be considering how to attract more patients and retain the ones you already have, and we're going to be doing that in the company of Chris Barrow and Ashley Latter. And one of the things that I really want to start off with is just to understand something about the moments of truth that I've heard both of you talk about. I think you've identified six moments of truth in the patient journey. So why have you chosen those six, and what are they?
Ash, do you want to start?
No, you kick off, Chris.
Okay, well, it's really interesting. Ash and I sat down probably about 3 months ago. We were doing some prep for the Dentistry Show and wanted to talk about the patient journey. The trouble with the patient journey is that it's a big subject. You know, it's a full day of training. And when you're trying to put together a really quick presentation for a live audience, or even talking on a podcast like this, you've really got to kind of pick out the nuggets. So we came up with this list of what we believe are six moments in the patient journey, the patient experience of working with a dental practice, where we think that if you get it right in this moment, in these six moments, it's going to have a huge influence on, first of all, whether a new patient decides to join the practice, buy treatment, and secondly, it's also going to make a big difference as to whether that patient becomes a long-term customer of the practice, joins the membership plan, gets into a preventative care system and keeps coming to see you for the next 20 years. So that was it, Ash, wasn't it? Looking at those six moments. And we're going to kind of mix and match these between us. I think we'll throw this backwards and forwards. And I'll jump in on the first one. We decided that the very first moment of truth in the current marketplace was actually that moment where the patient interacts with you digitally. And what we mean by that is that whether somebody hears about you from a word of mouth referral, whether they see a print media advert, whether they see an A-board on a pavement, or they drive past and see some signage in a window, more often than not, what people are doing now is that they're taking a look at your website. They're having a look at you online to see what you look like online, because as consumers, we're doing most of our research online. And so in the first step of this journey, we thought to explore what does your website look like, what do your various social media channels look like that people interact with you through now, and what is your digital personality. So that was number one. Ash, over to you for number two.
Yeah, the second part was when the patient has found out about you and is making that initial telephone call. And we've spent hundreds of hours doing mystery calls to dental practices. And we're here to the good ones, and we're here the not so good ones. Here's just a few quick tips when that phone call comes in. And it's that initial phone call coming into the practice, and the most important part of it all is that building of rapport. So the patient comes in, makes a phone call, inquiring about your services. You know, do you do short term ortho, or how much is something is? And the initial thing that the rather than going into here's what it costs and else, but find out who the patient is, find out who heard about you. You know, especially that second question, because you'll know what part of your marketing is working well and what isn't working well. But then go into deep questioning of finding out a little bit about the patient's problems in more detail. You know, tell me more about your concern, Mrs. Jones. You know, Mrs. Jones, how long have you been thinking about this for? And that genuine interest, that initial call. And very few practices will get the patient name. Very few practices will ask these questions. And once you do that, you can then turn around to the patient and say, look, you know, we can really help you, Mrs. Jones. Why don't you come in to make the appointment? We did about 150 mystery calls with some dental practices. It was in June last year in 2016. And we recorded them over a course we did over 2 days. And by the way, not one single practice, not one single receptionist said to the patient, you know, would you like to make an appointment? Would you come in? So that initial part of saying to the patient, you know, finding out a bit about the patient, asking questions to find out what the problem is, and then inviting them in to make an appointment is really, really crucial. But the other thing that I strongly suggest that practices do is answer new telephone inquiries away from the reception desk. Whatever happens, you know, I know women or a lot of ladies will say they're multi-talented, but you know, you cannot deal with a new patient inquiry when you've got six people at reception, you've got a surgery reception room full of patients, and you know, other phones are going and there's so much noise going on. So taking the telephone away from the desk, answering it in a quiet environment, will enable you to stand out and really make an impact and difference. So that was sort of the second moment of truth, was the how to deal with the initial telephone call.
So I think if we summarise the story so far, it's really quite interesting that at this point in the journey, the prospective new patient has probably had a look at your website. They've probably interacted with you on a social media channel, maybe Facebook, maybe Instagram. let's not lose sight of the fact that there are 31 million of us in the UK that are using Facebook every day. And let's not lose sight of the fact that 45% of the people that are on Facebook in the UK are over the age of 45. So it's a multi-demographic social channel. So they've had a look at your website, they've connected with you through social media, they may have read a blog post or two if you've got them available, they may have received some patient newsletters because they signed up for the newsletter before they actually made first contact. So they've got a digital impression of what it is you are about. And now, as Ash says quite rightly, they've picked the phone up and they've actually spoken to a human being, and that human being has become the very first ambassador for your business and for your brand standards. And so we now move on to step three, and step three is that very first arrival in the practice for a first consultation.
Yeah. So hopefully the receptionist would have had a verbal conversation in a group huddle with the dentist or treatment coordinator about the patient coming in. And that is just so crucial, and it's missed out. So it's not, we'll pop some notes on a computer and read the pop-up notes. It's a verbal conversation. The reason why that can happen is when the patient comes through the door, you know, the dentist or the treatment coordinator knows all about the patient, and they can pick up on something there to build that amazing rapport with the patient. They can connect with the client. So now you've got this rapport, you've got this connection. The third part of the process, and it's just really, it's interesting, we're at the stand here, and somebody came up to me just now, a dentist, and it's one of my clients, and he just said he had one of the best weeks ever in sales. And I just said to him, you know, what is it you've done? He said, I just sit there and I listen to their story. They have a story. And I just ask four or five questions and I listen to understand and I let them tell me what their story is, what their problem is. And once they finish telling me the story, I just relay it back to them. And that's crucial. Let's just sit down. Let's not talk about treatment, but let's listen to the story that's going on. You know, if a patient's inquiring about a certain cosmetic treatment or some treatment, they're there because they have a serious problem in their lives. Let's listen to what their problem is. And once we've done that, and we've done, you know, the examination, we can go back and then we can offer a solution and tell them how we can help them in a non-technical language, but speaking to them in a language that the patient understands and gets excited about. And once you do that, and you turn around and show some pictures and some evidence and some things that you can do for them, and you ask them what you think, have we hit the spot, they just come back and say, do you know what, yes, you have. And now you've got what we call the commitment step. And the commitment step is when the patient turns around and says, you know, I want to work with you. You're not closing them. They're coming to you and saying, this is exactly what I want and I'm committed to you. So that's just a few quick tips and strategies that might help you in that patient journey. Once you do that, we're now on to the, Chris can now take over and talk a bit more about that, how you present that treatment plan in a bit more detail.
Yeah, thanks, Ash. And you know, it's interesting, every now and then I'll write around my client base and say, could you all send me a copy of one of your treatment plans just so that we can kind of see what's going on out there. Now, I think Ash and I are both in a very privileged position because we tend to deal with kind of Champions League, Premier League practices. These are people who one would assume are moving towards the top of their game. And yet every time I ask for those treatment plans to be sent in, I'm going to say fairly horrified by the stuff that comes into me, even from people that are at the cutting edge of clinical dentistry and they're doing all the fancy digital stuff and all the rest of it. And then what do you get? You either get a printout from practice management software, which is a load of charts and a load of x-rays and a load of diagrams, and it's all written in this strange language that nobody outside dentistry understands, you know, LR6 and all this type of language that the patient hasn't got a clue with. Or alternatively, you get somebody who may have gone to the stage where they've perhaps got themselves a digital hand voice recorder, and they're actually recording a letter, a narrative, which is being then transcribed, it's being typed up by somebody, and somehow or other this narrative, "Dear John, it was really nice for you to come into the practice today and I enjoyed meeting you and I'd like to now talk through what we discussed." And so you've got a narrative of the consultation, but quite often then those charts and that those hieroglyphics, dental hieroglyphics, are being tucked into the back of it with the small print so that the poor patient still doesn't really know. So where do you go with that? Well, you know, I'm going to take you back about 3 years. I was sitting having breakfast one day with a very good friend of mine who I'm sure you'll know, Colin Campbell from the Campbell Clinic in Nottingham. And Colin and I were speculating, and the speculation was, if Apple made dental treatment plans, what would they look like? And we came to the conclusion that if they did that, that a treatment plan would appear in an A5 white box. And that as the lid of the box was lifted off, it would kind of sigh as the air rushed into the interior of the box. And when you open the box, there'd be a little kind of white styrofoam pad inside it. And this is where Colin jumped in with his imagination and said, wouldn't it be great if inside that pad there was a little credit card shaped thing with the Campbell Clinic livery on it? But when you took that credit card out of it, it flipped out into a USB stick so that you could actually then pop that USB stick into your desktop or your laptop, and then up would pop a treatment plan. But actually, instead of it just being a visual representation of narrative and so on, what would happen is that you'd have a little video up in the top right hand corner, and there would be Colin on video saying, "Hey Chris, it's Colin here, you know, really enjoyed seeing you here at the practice today, fascinating to hear about all your marathon running, all the crazy stuff that you're doing. By the way, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to take you on a tour through some of the stuff that we discussed. Here's your digital x-ray, but let me explain what it is that I can see in there that you can't see, and here are the intraoral shots that we took, and let me explain what I can see and what you can't see. And here are some of the solutions that we discussed, and here ultimately is the treatment plan that we're suggesting and the investment that we'd be looking for." What would it be like if that was actually a video experience for the client? And Colin being Colin ran with the idea, and in fact now they do that for every single treatment plan that goes out of that building. It goes out in one of those A5 white boxes that's not delivered by the postman with the bills and the junk. It's delivered special delivery during the day. And whether or not the patient agrees to treatment on the day, that presentation box is actually sent to them because it's part of a remark-able experience. People aren't going to go in a wine bar on a Friday night and say, "Oh my God, you'll never believe it, I got a letter from my dentist this morning that says I've got a problem with my LR6. But people are going to go into a wine bar and say, "Oh my God, you'll never believe it, I got a treatment plan from my dentist today that arrived in an Apple box in a credit card with a USB stick." Now, here's the frustrating thing. 3 years ago, he built it, and I've spoken to loads of people. I'm still waiting for somebody else to copy him.
Yeah, I'm still
waiting for
him. I've just come back from Sydney. It's funny. And I've done two lots of courses over the year. And in the first year, we had a dentist there. And he did exactly the same. He does very, very, most of his work is with models. So a lot of his, you know, these videos to models, that's his niche. And, you know, he came on first course and he did a second course with me. A year later, around the room, the same people, hardly anyone's done anything, but no one's done any with it. And it's interesting. And,
well, I don't know what it is.
And it's so successful. Yeah. He's signing up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of treatment plans using this video approach. And yet, very few people have copied it.
And by the way, I won't be giving away any trade secrets if I say that those boxes are costing about £20 each to produce. That's the box, the interior, yeah, the credit card, the booklets that go inside it, and
but
all the rest.
Most dentists will say that's a lot of money.
A lot of money, that £20.
Yeah, £20, you know, quid. Yeah,
when you're selling a £2,000.
I mean, we talk about, you know, you've got to go and get photograph books. Get your phone off the book, put them in a snapfish.com nice photo book.
Yeah.
And, you know, get it in a smaller book. And when, I mean, one of the ideas that I say to clients, why don't you get one of those and then send it out to me in the post, like you're doing, before the patient even comes through to the practice. And the first question, people say, well, it's a great idea, great idea. How much would it cost? And I said, maybe a tenner. Well, that's £10. What if they don't go ahead?
Yeah.
Well, actually, you'll have a more chance of them going ahead.
Yeah.
Because you just stand out from the crowd by doing it. Put it on the price of the treatment. You know, it's madness.
Do you remember? I mean, my kids are adults now. You know, they've grown up and left home. But do you remember that thing when your kids come home with the school photographs, and there's a little voucher from the photographer that says, you know, you can have one of these photos, yeah, free, as long as you come for a viewing.
Yeah.
And so you end up in the photographer's studio in the local village, and you go in a room at the back and they close all the curtains, and there's your little kiddies up on a massive, yeah, big screen. And what they're doing is a selection process. They show you two and you've got to pick one. And then they show you that one next to another one and you've got to pick one. And they do that kind of process,
yeah, of animation, yeah, yeah,
till you end up with the perfect shot.
Yeah.
Of your lovely little kids,
yeah,
and they're there lying on the carpet with no shoes or socks on,
yeah,
in a lovely pose, and that's the one, that's the money shot.
Yeah.
And then the photographer turns around and he says, right, well, we can do one for the living room and one for your bedroom,
yeah,
one for the outlaws,
one
for the in-laws, and, yeah, of course you'll need one for the passport.
Yeah, and we've got finance available.
And this, yeah, free photography, yeah, comes out, you walk out for 400 quid.
Yeah. Well, can I just say, can I stop you 1 second? I actually got that as a Christmas present for my wife about 10 years ago, to the value of £75. Right, so when I opened it up, I said, but Grace, this is going to cost me £2,000. And of course, I got a rollicking saying how ungrateful I was and everything else. But we went to the photographers in Liverpool. And by the way, being from Manchester, going to the photographers in Liverpool was not easy to start off with. And eventually, that £75 picture cost me £2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
but it was actually, in hindsight, I was like, at the time, like, the worst thing that could ever happen. But actually, in hindsight, 10 years later, I do like those pictures. I love those pictures.
But is it interesting that the little high street photographer has got presentation nailed?
Yeah, got it, yeah.
What a dentist wants to do... You see, if a dentist did school photographs, they'd do is they'd send a letter to the parent,
yeah,
saying, I need you to know that I've done a photograph, and by the way, here's the negative.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've got there's six negatives here, and if you could have a look at one of them and pick them out, then we'll get the photo.
Yeah.
So the point we're making, and we need to...
But it's interesting how you can learn from other industries.
Other industries, yeah. So the point we're making is that the presentation of a treatment plan, we believe, has got to be an interactive experience for the patient, and it's got to embrace modern technology. And modern technology is about visual, and it's about things like Photoshop and Keynote, and it's about things like using video. And by the way, if you want to know how to embed your own video inside a file and so on, a couple of tips. There's a program, a piece of software, which is called Camtasia, C-A-M-T-A-S-I-A, Camtasia. It sits on your desktop. You can record videos of anything. And then that is actually sistered with another thing called screencast.com. And that's the place on the cloud where you can keep all those videos when you've edited them and then send a link to the patient so that they can open it up or drop it on a USB.
Great idea.
Cheap as chips. We're on to, I think, step five, are we?
Yeah, that's your bit. That's the actual delivery of the treatment in the chair.
Well, you know, we're going to keep this simple because I think in the time we've got, we need to move on to step six, which is actually very important. But we realise, you know, even though Ash and I clearly are not clinicians, we realise that actually there is a moment of truth in the patient journey, and that's when they're sat in that chair and you're about to deliver that treatment. And so as non-clinicians, we looked at this from the patient's end of the funnel and said, okay, what does that feel like? And I'm going to say a few things to you that you've heard a million times. Number one, keep to time, because let's face it, we live in a world now where if things do not keep to time, people get stressed about that very, very quickly indeed. And if their appointment is delayed, if they're waiting in the patient lounge for too long, or for that matter, if they're waiting for you to pitch up in the surgery for too long, then you're raising the stress level of the patient, because sadly, though it may be, we've all moved into a world where we need to be instantly gratified, and if something's 60 seconds late, we think it's the end of the world. And so when you've got a dentist who's running late, it's really important that you keep people well informed. Second point was to not hurt me. And again, statement of the obvious, but there are some dentists who will say to a patient, if there's any discomfort, raise your hand and I'll withdraw straight away. There are some patients who will actually give, some dentists who give the patient a clicker. I've even seen a dentist who gave a patient an electric buzzer with a red button on it, and the patient had that buzzer in the right hand with the thumb ready, and if you buzz that buzz, I will withdraw immediately. And of course, all the psychologists will tell you that as soon as the patient has got that level of control, the interesting thing happens is that their pain threshold suddenly rises, because they know that they are in control of that situation. Another tip, explain to me please everything that you're doing. Don't let me wonder what's happening next. Can I tell you, by the way, I've got to tell you, on this business of explain to me what's happening, I was in Oman recently on a 21-day desert expedition, which was all very exciting.
Did you say the Isle of Man?
No, Oman.
Oh, Oman. Sorry, I'm just wondering why you'd go to the Isle of Man for 21 days.
And a credible thing happened. We got to Muscat at the end of it. Now, I've been wild camping for 21 days, so, you know, I've not had a shave, I've not had a haircut.
It's just normal life.
I've got hair growing out my ears and all that stuff that happens to blokes and all the rest of it. I said, right, I'm going to go for one of those full-on Arabic shaves, you know, the head massage and the shave and all the rest of it. I'm going to go for a wet shave, and there's going to be hot towels, and they're going to do me, you know, rub all this lotion in. So I'm sat there in the chair, and the actual barbershop that I went to, nobody spoke English. I just pitched up and I pointed at my head and went thumbs up, and they said salam alaikum, and off we went. And so they did the wet shave, and that was absolutely flipping marvellous. And then they did the cut, and then they give me a number one over a haircut, and that was absolutely marvellous. And then he slapped around a few hot towels, and that was absolutely marvellous. And then he just kind of said, he gave me a weight symbol, and he wandered off out of the room. And then he walks back in with this huge contraption that's about 5 foot tall. And I can't even describe it. It was almost like a photocopying machine, but with a big plastic bag on the top of it. And he takes this plastic bag that's got a tube going out of it into the machine, and he puts this plastic bag over my head, and he ties a knot round my neck. Mm. So I'm sat there with a huge plastic bag on my head. And I'm looking at him through the plastic, and I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on here. And nobody's talking to me, because nobody can speak English.
Yeah.
So anyway, he sets a few things up, and there's a few words and a few clicks. And then he presses this button, and he gives me a thumbs up and walks away. And as I'm sat there, this plastic bag fills with steam. And what it is that it's a head sauna.
Oh, right.
All right.
I was like a scene from Homeland.
It's a head sauna. So I'm sat in this barbershop chair with a plastic bag on my head filling full of steam. And I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, to the extent that it's like my ears are coming off. And I can't breathe in, because every time I breathe in, I get this hot air right up my nose, and it's taking my sinuses out. But I've no idea. Am I supposed to say wave when I've had enough? Or am I supposed to press a button? Or is there a pedal? Nobody's told me anything. So I just think, I'm going to die here.
Yeah.
It's like cause of death head sauna. And it went on and on and on, and I'm almost at breaking point where I'm going to jump out of this chair and run down the street with this thing dragging behind me. And he came back in and switched it off again.
Yeah.
And it just gave me an insight for a moment into what it must be like being in a dentist chair when you've no idea
what's going on next.
So don't do the hot sauna helmet to me.
So the follow-up is really when you bring the patient back in 6 to 8 weeks after you've had the treatment. So let's say you've had some short-term ortho, some implants, whatever the case may be. You bring them back, you're checking to see if the treatment's been working, you're checking to see patients keeping the retainers on. And that's a great opportunity at that moment to ask the patient for a video testimonial. Now, at this stage, when you sit down with the patient and say, you know, tell me what's been going on since the brace has come off, tell me what's been happening, you're going to hear an amazing story of how what major benefits the patient's had in their lives. They're going to tell you all about how other people have noticed their smile, the impact had on their lives. And at this moment in time, they feel very, very happy towards you. There's, you know, they feel really very appreciative to what you've actually done for them. And this is a great opportunity at this stage then to ask for a couple of small favors. And favor number one is, can you get all that down on a video? And there's a great book by Robert Cialdini called Influence, and it's a book that I urge all my clients to read. And in their book, there's a law there called the law of reciprocation. And the law of reciprocation is that when you do something for somebody that's so far better than they expected, they really would like to do something back for you. So if you can ask them at this stage now for a video testimonial outlining the major benefits they've had in their lives since they've had the treatment, the impact it's had, you know, was it a good investment of both time and money, and advice to people who are thinking about having the treatment, then you'll get us an amazing video, you know, just lasting 60 seconds, and you'll be shocked and surprised at actually how many people will actually want to do that for you. If you can't get the, if you're a bit shy, they don't want to do video, but then they'll also, they'll in its place, you will get a good testimonial letter. And this is also a great opportunity to hand out referral cards, you know, to say to the client, look, you know, thanks for being a patient and we've loved treating you. And if you come, you know, if you come across any family, friends, relatives, aunts, uncles, work colleagues who value this type of dentistry, please hand them our card. And again, that law of reciprocation means they'll put that in their bag and they'll do the job for you. They'll go out and sing your praises and bring patients to your practice. And the third thing is, obviously, if you've got a plan, it's a great opportunity then to sit down and say, look, you know, thanks for being a patient for the last 6 months, but how about developing, we'd like you to be our patient for the rest of your life. You know, here's our plan and here's how we, how you'll benefit. And now you've got a patient for life. So not just for a short-term treatment, but you've got them for life. So the follow-up is really, really crucial, and lots of great things can happen. And most importantly, those videos should be shared with the whole team. The team need to hear the story because it gives them confidence to tell that story to future patients as well. So there we are. There we are, sort of the follow-up.
One thing to add to what Ashley has always has also said is that you've got the opportunity now of getting what I describe as digital word of mouth. And what I mean by that is that online reviews are growing in their importance, not just in dentistry, but in all forms of consumer engagement. And the nice thing nowadays is that you've got various different ways in which you can generate those reviews. So people tend to start with the idea of Google reviews, and some of the practice management software systems will automate the process by which those Google reviews are collected. And they are clearly very, very important for those people who are doing search on Google, looking for dentistry of a given type in a given area. Then the more reviews that you've got on Google, the better it's going to be for your organic search. The second point, though, is not to lose sight of the fact that there are a growing number of other review platforms, most notably Facebook again, because Facebook reviewing is becoming very important. And what you've also got, of course, is proprietary review platforms like that start with NHS Choices, but there are other places like whatclinic.com and comparethetreatment.com and so on and so forth, which are owner-managed review platforms, but some people will find you through those sources. And the very final point on that is that one of the things that Google have started doing literally in the last 6 months is that they've started aggregating all of those different reviews. So now if you search for Coronation Street Dental Practice in Manchester, What will happen is that Google will find it, it will display the web page in organic search. You'll know that over on the right hand side there'll be that panel there that's got a few photos of the practice, got your opening hours and your website. But what Google are now doing is they're aggregating the reviews. They're saying, okay, well, this place has got 23 Google reviews, it's got 18 Facebook reviews, it's got 5 NHS Choices reviews, it's got 6 What Clinic reviews, and they're all showing there. And so what's interesting about that is that all of that now counts for Google influence. It's all grist to the mill, as far as that's
concerned. If you think about it as well, if you put all that postings on, if you've got like patients who are thinking about having the treatment and they're looking at those platforms at the same time as well, it's going to increase patients coming back to you. So
So I think that's it. We've covered those 6 moments.
That's quite excellent. There's a lot of ideas there.
That was excellent. Thank you both very much. I mean, I think there's loads of new stuff in there. Some familiar ideas revisited. You were explaining about how some people are slow to adopt some of the great ideas, like Colin Campbell example.
Yeah.
But some really, really useful stuff told in your, as expected, totally entertaining way. So thank you both very much, especially for your time today.
It's been great. Thank you very much for inviting us.